Welcome back to Dicey Situations, folks. As always, I'm your DM, Ryan, joined by my chaos crew. Go ahead, introduce yourselves, boys. I gotta stop saying that. I'm gonna stop saying it like that, because every time I fuck it up. Go ahead, just say your names. I'm fucking done.
Rich playing Theo.
Mark playing Glebnor.
Hart playing Taluga.
So, let's do our recap, folks. We had a nice, real spicy one last time. Last time on Dicey Situations. Fleeing the Stormcaller attack, the Chaos crew and the survivors of Tidagol Grove made their way to the Underdock to escape into the Nocturne Lake. After patching up their wounds and getting some rest with the Kuotoa fleet, the boys began their interrogation of the captured Stormcallers. The Azure-scaled Dragonborn proved to be a tough nut to crack, and their interrogation tactics swiftly turned into egg-based torture. What they did learn was the name of the Goliath Harbinger, Urshan, and the location of the Stormcaller capital, Windmere. Mean Gene and the other leaders of the Grove decided to make their way to the Ebon Den, a firebelly dwarf stronghold in the Underdark, and sister city to the Kuotoa village of Sloopledrip. Tensions amongst the fleet have grown high, and the Red Dragonborn Smiths of Tidagol have given the gang another hour to extract more information from the Azure Scale before they take their pound of flesh. Now we join our crew on the placid waters of Nocturne Lake, sailing deeper into the Underdark, hoping to find allies and a safe place to plan their next moves. So we're going to join our heroes now. You're still sailing the waters. You guys have about another 50 or so minutes with this Azure Scale before the Dragonborn and Yarno's little gang here get a little demandy, if I would. So what would you guys like to do?
I'd like to group up the Dragonborn, like in front, like have them in front of the crowd that's, I'm assuming, is circling this blue dragon.
Yeah, there's only a couple people on boat version of Glebnor right now.
Boat flat.
But there are a couple of these like long keel boats that have all sort of like gathered around you guys.
I'm going to create a walkway.
Okay.
Off the side of me onto the one that Daddy wants.
A little ramp?
A little ramp.
Yeah, so a goo ramp.
Walk the goo plank.
Plops onto the Dragonborn keelboat.
I'm just like, come, I want you to watch this. I'm going to break this man.
You heard him, boys.
And the Dragonborn kind of approach. Yarno kind of comes up and kind of gives you like a fun little nudge, Theo. And he's like, this should be good. And you see Reggie's like, I'm going to close my eyes now. Whatever happens, happens. Do what you gotta do, boys.
Reg.
Yeah?
Can you just go into the bag and see if Cobbler's doing all right?
Oh,
just watch
yeah.
him for a couple minutes. You guys play.
No problem.
I guess I opened the bag for...
Yeah, let me get in there real quick.
You're not going to want to see this.
You see, he climbs in. You just see like little like gnome boots kicking in the air as he climbs
curled
into the bag of holding. Yeah, he's in the bag holding now.
So I'm full on just like show mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like a ringleader type. So you come... here, shouting about some nonsense guy named Krizik.
You will speak.
Have
no
you seen
more
this
ill-
so-called god? In
I don't need to see him. I feel the storm in the air. I see the lightning.
You know, I
brings.
Feel the storm too when it gets a little zappy out. But that doesn't mean there's a god around.
Listen, you fool. I have seen the wall of storm that protects us, that keeps those monstrosities inside the Iron Scar. You will not dissuade me.
You know, I see a wall right there. That's doesn't mean there's a god.
That's a cave wall.
You know what I do see? Walls. I see a man. A man who walks amongst people who is a god. Bleebly. Who has saved our people. Who has saved countless other people, regardless of race or belief. I see a being who doesn't need anger or hatred to convince people. Or some magical name like Krizik. We have Bleebly, the god of guns.
And you can see that at this point, some of the Kuotoa are like clapping. And then we get to the gun part. They're like, what's a gun? Is he going to show the gun? What is that?
So you came to us spouting about something you have no proof actually exists. So you know what I do to you? In the name of our god, Bleebly. I command you to renounce.
Okay. You're going to cast the command spell. What is the DC on this wisdom save?
13. Quick thing. while he's casting this, can I use the gun that he just spoke of to shoot in the air to kind of intimidate the
cave?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to hit maybe a stalactite or whatever.
Okay.
To shoot it in the air to basically intimidate him to essentially work as like a bane on this save that he has to make.
Perfect. So you take the gun out, fire it into the air, and you see all the Kuto are like, is like, it, to them, it's like you've produced thunder from your hand. And the sound of the gun rings through the cave. You don't even need that D4. I rolled a 7 on the die. So his +3 is only going to bring it to 10. And you see, he's like,
"You fools! I would... I renounce Krissick, the Storm Lord."
And everyone give me an Arcana or Religion check.
It's a 19 Religion.
Oh, fuck you.
Dirty 20 Religion.
12.
Glebnor, at first, you just see he looks furious that he's been forced into this situation. But you two see that this, like, kind of crackling electric energy that was kind of, like, not always visible, but just present on this being, fades. And you see that having renounced his god, you have broken his connection to the Stormlord Krissick.
What is this? My magic! What have you done? You foul fish fuck!
He starts like wrestling. I need an athletics check from whoever's holding him.
Yo!
Yeah, that'll be you over there, Glebnor.
14?
Okay, let me just roll real quick. Let's see if he breaks out of this.
I mean, Taluga's standing there, arms wide, smile on his face, knowing exactly what he's done.
He goes to lash out, and you can see that he's going to open his mouth to do a breath weapon at Taluga, and you see a pseudopod wrap around his mouth and hold it shut.
Yes! Like a gator with a belt on his face.
He's now basically muzzled, so what do you guys like to do?
Quickly, Daddy?
Yes?
Is command a cantrip?
No.
How many spell slots you got left?
2.
Want to command him to bleave?
Are you trying to tell me that bleave is the one word command you're trying to do to me right now? We're fucking 5 minutes into this episode, and you're throwing bleave at me?
Son, I will not have bleave be a religion forced upon people.
You know what? You're right, Father. I retract my request, Daddy.
Thank you, son.
And you can see that he just, like, losing that connection, you can see that he is like, you've broken this thing. This Dragonborn has lived his whole life in submission to this god and feeling his god reject him for this renouncing. He kind of just stops struggling at a certain point and goes a little slack.
How's that broken spirit doing, buddy?
I cannot believe that Krissick would look down on me, a humble servant. And
he left you out. He hung you out to dry. You want to give us what we want now?
Son, you're terrible at this.
I'm too.
True.
And then where's the human Stormcaller? He's with you, right, Theo?
Yeah, he's in the, like, obviously basically he'd be in front of me sitting while I'm standing kind of with the gun, like, visible to everybody.
Where's Bleagong? Is he, like, watching all this?
Yeah, Bleagong's standing. He's been standing next
Don't
to
worry,
Theo and everyone. Yeah, he's like,
yeah, yeah, get him! Get him, bro!
He's just getting really excited.
All right, just making sure.
I want to walk behind him and kind of put my hand on his shoulders.
The Dragonborn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what we have here is a man who was forced into belief of something that was wrong. Finally free himself and look at the relief he shows on his face.
This is not relief. You have broken my connection to my god.
But you are now open to a wide variety of opportunities.
You have opened
chances. Life ahead of you. Not bound to a single thing. You, sir, are free.
Make a persuasion check for me. Here, I will roll, I'll call this like an insight. He only got an 8.
He also has disadvantage.
He has disadvantage because he's exhausted because you guys didn't let him sleep.
Can I guidance myself?
With a 3 on the
reroll.
Oh, okay.
I don't got
he now has a 6. 6 is the
total. I got a 6.
Okay, so we'll say you guys are kind of matched here. he realizes that no matter what, he's lost his connection to Krizik. And you realize that you're not going to probably be able to convert this broken dragonborn here in this moment, but you see that the other, the human next to you is like, we don't have to die here, man. Do you think that Krizik was a good god? If he would have done this, he would have made us kill all these people. It doesn't make any sense. I joined up with the clerics of the Stormlord because I believe that the storm was the best way to keep our world safe. But if we're the ones terrorizing it, how safe can it be? It's not worth it. It's just not worth it.
Shut up, you fool. We're both dead. You just don't see it. All of you are dead and you don't see it. If that storm stops, and more of those machines will tear through your people. There is one thing keeping this world safe, and that is the Lord of the Sky.
And he just kind of shuts down a little bit.
I thought he was the Lord of the Storm?
Really confusing there.
He's in the sky. That's where storms are.
Okay, well, you're
being real pedantic.
You know, all right, I'll give you... I look at him. All right, I'll give you that one. It is in the sky. Storms do happen in the sky. You're right. I'll give you that.
Yeah, Theo.
But I mean, how can he be Lord of Sky and Storm? Like, you only get one.
True.
We're
true.
In a cave. How can he even get us?
Yeah, that's
there
also
ain't no
true.
Sky in here, buddy.
I will also say something is interesting about you guys being underground. The Call Lightning spell, I believe, doesn't work underground because you need open sky to use it. Mm-hmm. So, just a fun fact that you aren't threatened by that at all anytime you're down here.
It's a good thing.
But you can see, yeah, Yarno's like,
Theo, I think we've seen enough. You can keep the kid, but we're taking him.
You good, Toluga?
Yep, I've done exactly what I came here to do.
And you can see this. The red dragonborn smiths pick Power. Him from off you off okay. the ground.
They're picking him up.
They're picking him up, yeah.
Okay.
Why? What do you want to do there?
Well, I have my pseudopod wrapped around his face, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to try and pull a tooth out on the way.
Athletics check? Call it a DC... athletics or sleight of hand, whatever you want to do.
We're going to go with the 24 athletics.
As you release him, yank a tooth out. And he just, like, he barely even shrugs it off at this point. He knows what's coming. And you would hear in Draconic, Theo, that he looks up at Jenry and says in Draconic,
at least give me a clean death, an honorable one.
Jenry leans in.
You haven't earned that.
And you see him bash his skull in with his smith hammer.
Hell yeah.
And some of the Kuotoa that were watching are like, ooh!
Yeah, that one's gotta hurt.
Ooh!
Swinging for the fences.
Is Mommy on the boat?
Mommy is not part of this. Mommy is making tacos in a different boat altogether. She's letting Jean kind of run the show over here with you guys.
Okay.
But Bleagong's just like,
fuck yeah! Woo! Got him! Woo!
He's just really excited. and you see Jenry, he goes to shake your hand, Toluga.
Thank you. I needed that.
I think we all did.
And you guys can all, at this point, give me a perception or survival check.
Which one would be funnier?
Survival.
Survival's probably funnier.
Right. Five.
Okay.
It's an 8 survival.
21 survival.
Okay. You notice it first. That as you guys have been sailing for a bit, and everyone's kind of more focused on this than maybe on steering the boat, the waters of the lake are getting a little bit rougher and the current's picking up a little bit. And this little fleet of boats is now sailing into the dark and picking up speed. I need everyone to give me a dexterity saving throw.
Would mine be a disadvantage in the dark?
Not on a dex save, no. Okay, I think it's just a perception checks.
13.
Okay.
16.
Okay, so as the boats are kind of going, you kind of just hit some like rock underneath the water. You feel it. It's your body,
yeah.
Glebnor. You kind of buck at like a rock that kind of jabs into your stomach. And you see Toluga's like, that just gets flown off the boat into the black water. Unless anyone wants to do some kind of reaction to grab him.
Would
17
I
athletics
see
to pseudopod.
Oh, there you go.
Daddy.
17 athletics will do it.
Yeah, I can see in the dark, so.
Yeah, you see him flying off, and you real quick grab him out of the water and pull him in. And you see me and Gina's like, everyone, to the boats, formation! And everyone kind of rushes to their boats. And he's like, all right, everyone, stay tight, stay tight! As the waters kind of pick up a little bit. What do you got?
Can I make, like, little fucking latches to kind of keep the boats as one?
Okay, so you want to kind of like
I want to center myself raft between the rest of the boats.
Oh, okay, cool.
And make little, like, hookies.
Okay, let's call that, like, a sleight of hand or, like, acrobatics to try to, like, maneuver your pseudopods quickly into that formation.
Does a 26 sleight of hand get it?
You basically turn into almost like a spider web, like, of goo as it, all your pseudopods go out and latch onto these boats. Me and Jane's like, "Oh boy, Glebnor!" And the rest of
Grandpa proud, Daddy.
You're doing it, son.
The rest of the Kuitoa.
Love me, Bleagong.
They're all running. Bleagong is just like, "That's pretty cool. Fine,
I'm winning them over."
And at this point, can I get a perception check from Taluga? As you've kind of like gotten back on the boat.
14?
You see Reggie's head like pushing out of the bag of holding, like, "What's happening?" He's like getting just jostled around inside the bag of holding.
"Sorry, Reggie, sorry. We got some rough waters."
"Oh no, this is getting kind of crazy."
And you see a little brick fly out of the bag and start floating around you. And you guys see Cobbler looking quite panicked, blinking furiously fast.
"Cobbler, I'm sorry. Rough waters, rough waters."
"Reggie, did you feed him while you were in there?"
"It was really dark. I didn't even know what was happening. I bumped into him a few times, I think.
Yeah, no light.
No, shit. It was so dark in there. What's up? Oh, no."
Everyone make a perception check.
2?
18.
I'm busy holding the boats together.
You got a lot going on.
13 at disadvantage.
You can't see shit, Theo. Fucking, there's chaos everywhere. You and some of the other humans are just like, "Oh god," just like panicked as like all the Kuitoa with their big, you know, glowing eyes are kind of being able to steer through here. But you see that there are rocks now falling from the top of this cavern. I need a DC 13 dex save from just Glebnor, because you're the ship.
I'm gonna touch him. "Son, we need you now," and give you
18.
Guidance.
Okay. Don't even need it.
18. Yeah, you dodge a bunch of boulders falling your way. Just avoided 2d10 bludgeoning damage.
Shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can see that, like, actually, here, we're going to straight luck check. Anybody can do it. Whoever wants to be the one to do it.
Who's luckiest?
That's up for debate. I think you guys all kind of swing different ways.
Who are we feeling right now?
Our god.
Bleebly?
All right.
Bleebly, take the wheel.
Bleebly, take the wheel.
You find that t-shirt on our website maybe someday, probably.
It's a nat one.
Bleebly, let go of the wheel.
Oh, he really let go of that one.
Bleebly, you can see that the Kuto are panicking, so you get up and you're like, you go to like calm everyone and you like take a step and just walk right off one of the boats.
And I'm going to grab him.
I'm also going to try to run and grab him.
You like take one step up to try to calm everyone and just immediately just walk right off the side of Glebnor.
Does a 16 get him?
Let's see.
Is it 21?
Okay, that's pretty good. Together, with a pseudopod and an arm, you guys pull him out of the water. You're soaking wet now, but you get yanked back onto the ship.
Who put the water there?
I lean in and whisper, "Theo, it's been there the whole time."
I mean, technically you, because you brought the wet.
God damn it.
You brought da wet.
But yeah, you guys, now the water's picking up and you're flying through these caverns, moving a little bit quicker. The Kuitoa are very good at navigating these waters, but even they're starting to get a little nervous.
White water rafting?
A little bit. Through a big cave.
And you can see up ahead that the ceiling of the cavern is starting to slope down, and it's coming into almost like a tunnel that all these boats are kind of flying toward. I need, again, Glebnor, because you are the boat. I need a DC 15 dex save here.
Glebnor was taking some damage.
Okay.
Well, no, I don't even think
there's no way.
There ain't no way I'm helping that.
Yeah, Glebnor, you kind of try to like pull your pseudopods tight to bring everyone into kind of like an arrow formation. You get in front and put all these boats kind of behind you, and you're just hitting walls of cave, just ricocheting back and forth. It's like candlepin bowling with the bumpers up.
Oh, God.
Only people in New England know what that is. In parts of Canada.
You take 16 bludgeoning damage as you take the hit for the fleet as you are getting whaled by rocks.
Not feeling great, Daddy.
And after, you know, what seems like an eternity through this like tunnel of dark water where no one can see, there's rocks everywhere, shards of like just like jutting out pieces of crystal are just daggering into the side of you. You guys finally make it out onto the water, and there's just this like, finally there's a moment, the cavern opens up again. Mean Gene kind of like jumps onto your boat from his and is like, "Good job up there, Glebnor.
Oh, thanks, Pop-Pop.
Son, are you all right? That was a lot of rocks.
I got some
shards in and around my body.
That's not good.
Theo, you look soaked. What happened back there, kid?
The water came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think we must be close.
Everyone give me a perception check. Or investigation, whoever's higher for you. I think for you guys, it's almost always perception, but...
Nat 1.
Okay. 19.
13 with disadvantage.
Okay, so... Glebnor, you're beat to shit. You have no idea the hell's going on. Your eyes, like, one eye is drifted to the front of the boat, one's drifted all the way to the back of the boat. And Theo, even through the dark, you can see there's, like, a heavy layer of fog over the still water, and you can't quite make it out, but there are these shapes in the distance. But what you hear across the wind of this placid lake is a cacophony of kazoos. And coming out of the fog on these kind of on these keel boats, much like you're traveling on, you see subterranean Kuwatoa. They are all blowing these strange choral kazoos as it echoes through the across the water. And Glebnor, or you see Mean Gene's like,
oh, here we go. Sloople drip.
Dad, what's that beautiful sound?
That is the song of our people.
I love it.
That means gulp's close.
And Uncle Gulp?
Great Uncle Gulp?
You can see these boats start pulling up towards your fleet. These Kuwatoa almost like all look like catfish. They have these big wide eyes.
What's with the mustaches?
They all have like little twirly mustaches.
Sorry, Daddy.
And they're all looking at you all very confused and concerned. Everyone make a perception investigation, or I'll actually say insight too, if you'd like, as these guys kind of pull up on this boat to check you guys out.
Am I still at disadvantage here?
They've gotten close enough. You have the light from the
18
the fleet.
Percept.
You're straight.
It's 23 insight.
Oh, okay.
That's a 12 perception.
Okay, you're just like, it's a lot of fucking fish. Real quick. With your high insight check, you can see that they don't look threatening. They look like excited. It's like a fleet of Kuwatoa have shown up out of nowhere. And you guys would definitely notice that these guys, they all have these kind of strange, like tribal markings all over their body. It looks like they've used like squid ink to tattoo themselves. And what was your
18 perception? 18?
You can see that a lot of the like patterns on their skin are like lobster claws. It's a lot of lobster claw tattoos going on. Ooh, on these guys.
They look so cool, right?
I love their overalls with one strap missing.
And
fuck you, Mark.
So a catfish Kuwatoa wearing overalls with one strap. He pulls up on the front of the boat. You can see he's just like a little like kind of like ranger kind of pops up and it's just like,
where y'all going?
Sloople drip.
You going sloople drip? Where y'all come from?
What the hell is this guy saying?
He said where we come from. You don't understand?
I kind of every like third word.
Man, you going to listen with your ears.
He said you don't listen with your ears.
I don't have ears.
Oh, you ain't got ears, no.
You see all of the catfish Kuwatoa start cackling in this weird little joke. They're still kind of playing kazoo, some of them, as they're kind of excited to see this big fleet arrive.
Daddy, these are not the people I'm used to.
Son, just be careful, all right? And don't offend.
I have an open mind.
We have new relatives.
Man, get your Kuwatoa ass off. Come on with me. We're going to
hell
make you
yeah.
a super trip.
Hell yeah.
All right, Daddy seems excited, so I'm getting excited.
Mean Gene's just like, I can't believe we're back at Sloople Drip. He's just holding his forehead.
I want to lean back. Dad, why didn't you tell me about these guys? Are great.
They're something.
You can see Reggie kind of leans into Mean Gene and is like,
these look like a very fun people. I think we're going to have good time.
Looks down and is like, who the hell are you? Did we know there's a gnome on the boat?
His name is Reggie.
Nice to meet you. You're a friend of my son?
Oh, like the bestest of pals. They saved me. It's a long story that I'm not going to get into right now because clearly we're pulling up. But I'm just saying, good guys all around. You're one heck of a papa.
Reggie's a good dude, Gramps.
Okay, Bleegong, get with your brother.
Yeah, for sure.
He kind of walks up. We're going to try to... Everyone, we're amongst friends here. But just everyone try to adhere to the customs. They could be a bit strange. If
you notice that no one's blinking, don't worry. That's normal.
Wait, we blink?
Well, I'm mostly talking to the other residents here.
Oh. I don't even have eyelids.
Yeah, and there is something interesting. Kuotoa don't blink. Fish don't have eyelids. So he's just kind of warning the residents of the grove not to be unsettled by that.
It's just normal fish.
You can see, he's like, come on, get going! The catfish guys are kind of like pulling the boats now. There's a bunch of them rowing these huge oars as they pull the fleet into the docks. He's like, someone who bumps into you and they're quiet and they seem standoffish, there is a very large sleepwalking problem amongst the Kuotoa of this village. Don't know why, it's just always been a thing, and because they don't blink, it's confusing, because it looks like they're awake. I'm just saying, everyone, keep on your toes. They're a little bit more conservative than we're used to in the Grove, okay?
Just like Perpibulus?
Yeah, kinda. A big sleepwalker. You remember your brother would wander around? Yeah. And you see Mommy, and it's like, this is so exciting! I've never seen your father's home village. I bet we're gonna get the real hero's welcome! And you can see she's like, just still like, preparing like snacks. She's like making little snack pouches for everybody, handing them out.
Are we ashore yet?
Yeah, we'll say at this point, they start pulling you guys up to the shore.
So I can form back into my blob shape?
Yeah, sure.
Can I take Cobbler out of the bag?
Yeah.
I won't, prop him up on my shoulder.
Yeah, he blinks menacingly at everyone and just lands on your shoulder.
Everyone, this is Cobbler. He's cool.
Yeah, he's very cool.
Mommy, I got this cool tooth. Can you make a necklace for me, please?
Oh my god, I'd love to make you a necklace. My boys are accessorizing.
I got the two Dragonborn horns.
Yeah, you do have those.
I want to offer one of them as a gift to the...
you go give me one of these beautiful...
I broke it off fresh, just for you.
You see he holds it, looks at it, spits in his hand, shakes your hand, and then kisses you on both the cheeks.
Oh my god, these are my people!
They are technically your people, yes, Toluga.
I've never felt like I blend in more, like I belong here.
As you guys arrive at the village of Sloopledrip, again, just kazoos all around the village start playing. Sloopledrip is a small little Kuotoa village. You see a lot of these little kind of like hacked together huts. There's some large, strange, like abyssal shells that some of these people are living in, clearly from some kind of creature they've hollowed out. And because of the dense fog, you can't really make it out just yet. But you know this village is at the base of a massive dwarven city. You can just see a huge black stone wall, kind of like leaving a dark shadow over the village. But yeah, there's a bunch of these little catfish Kuotoa all on the docks, and they're all cheering and be like, welcome, welcome! And they're all just helping all the Kuotoa come off the docks and bringing them into the town square.
What a reception, Daddy.
I know. This is great.
A little hard to understand, but...
I'm hearing them just fine. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
Yarno kind of catches up to you, Theo, and he's like, what the fuck are we doing here, Theo? These people are kind of freaking me out.
Look, Toluca's going to get us all through this, right? It'll be fine. I don't really know what's happening.
Yeah, no, that tracks.
You can see the Stormcrawler priest that is the human that has been freed. You can see a couple of the catfish Kuotoa have walked over, and they just start tying him up with, like, seaweed and shit. And you see your Kuotoa are helping. They kind of, he's like, what's
happening?
Hold on, what's happening? What's happening? And they pick him up and they're all just kind of carrying him like he's like crowd surfing. And you see them bring him off to what looks like a little jail. Like it's made of like, you know, just kind of reeds kind of tied together. But yeah. And yeah, there's a big procession as the Kuotoa of Tidagol have returned to their ancestral home of Sloopledrip.
As that, Krizik guy is getting called off because I don't think I ever asked his name. I'm just going to yell over to him. Hey, if you think of anything, let the Kuotoa know and, you know, you can let us know. Maybe we'll let you out. Maybe we won't. We'll figure it out.
My name's Felix. Please let me out. He starts getting carried away. Thank you, Glebnor, for reminding me to write down the name Felix. We're doing great, folks. We're learning. The podcast is getting better. Come on. All right, so as this procession of Kuotoa make their way into the town square, can I get a perception check from everybody? As you can see that these kind of little fishing huts and hovels kind of center around what seems to be a large structure in the center of the town.
14?
6.
19.
He's in his element.
You are in your element. And Toluga, you've never felt more in your element, because as you walk forward, you can see that there is a statue in the center of the town. You can't make it out at first, because you guys are coming from the back, towards where the docks were. As you loop your way around, there is a statue of a champion of the Kuatoa, a statue of the original Plu-Plu Plane. And he bears a striking resemblance to you, because he was a bluefin tuna Kuatoa. You can see that this Kuatoa champion, this big marble statue, he kind of looks sort of similar to your build. He's wearing this very like ornate coral armor in this statue. He has a sharp fin going down his back, and he's covered in these crazy tattoo markings that some of the Kuatoa have like painted in to be kind of like brighten it up. And then you see your father, Mean Gene, is like, we are Plu-Plu Planes. It makes sense. Eventually, the bloodline would produce another one kind of like you. Don't let my brother get weird about it. He's going to be weird about it.
What do you mean?
Daddy.
Who is that?
Looks just like you.
I can't see me. I wouldn't know.
You look just like this thing.
Do I? Dad? Oh, yeah.
That's Plu-Plu Plane. That's our namesake. That is the great hero of the Kuatoa.
Whoa. Wait. What?
We're named after our great ancestor, the great Plu-Plu Plane, who...
Plu-Plu Plane was his first name?
He was just Plu-Plu Plane, to my knowledge. You mean Gene's not sure about that as he says it?
I don't know how names work.
We know Glebnor look like Plu-Plu Plane.
I've got several.
But yeah, there are loud kazoos at this point, and now you can hear trumpets and like drums playing as the catfish cleric or catfish Kuatoa start to part. There is one massive catfish kind of plodding his way through the streets, and you can see at the end of the lane Uncle Gulp, leader of the Sloople Drip Kuatoa.
You came up with that.
I know, I've done this to myself. I have no one to blame but me. He kind of waddles forward. He's big. This looks like a catfish that has eaten every...
Boss Nass or whatever the fuck's on episode one.
Exactly. He has like a really, really long kind of those like mustache whisker tendrils kind of coming down. He's got a like toga almost made of like netting, like fish nets. And on it, there's just tons of these little kind of ornaments and like...
Lures,
exactly. Yeah, like fishing line kind of shit is just all over him to make up his outfit. And he's holding a big staff with a lobster at the top. And next to him, there's a kind of scrawny catfish that's too long. It's like he's unsettlingly long. His body is very small. There's way too much torso, and then a little strange head at the top with little whiskers as well. He's kind of just plodding after this other larger one. And you can see this hulking catfish is like,
well, if it isn't my no-good city-slicking brother. Hey there, teeny genie. Good to have you back.
Dad, who's teeny genie?
I don't want to talk about it, Toluga. Just wave to your uncle.
Gulp! It's so good to see you, brother.
I knew you'd be back. Couldn't hack it on the surface, could you, brother?
That's not exactly what happened. Thank you for your hospitality and the warm traditional welcome.
It's been a while since we got to play our kazoos.
It's beautiful.
Play my kazoos, my people.
You see the catfish start blowing. It's way too loud. See, at this point, Yarno's next to you, and he's just like,
Theo, I'm going to fucking lose it. What is happening? This place is insane.
Yarno, you need to calm the fuck down.
Right now.
Okay. Just internalize it. Just push it down.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We'll talk to Toluga when all this settles down. We'll figure everything out.
I don't think it's ever going to settle down. These people are fucking nuts.
I mean, you're not wrong, but just bear with me.
What brings you to my pristine shores?
There was trouble on the surface, and Tide of Gol is no more.
And you see there's like lots of hushed whispers amongst the crowd.
Well, that is interesting. Well, you will find that there is no more beautiful land than that in which you came from. I know you were once too good for our mudcake huts, but now it seems you've come crawling back. You know, you could have been my plope. But no, no, no. Had to go join up with them astral monks. Want to see the stars of the ocean.
Yeah. I wanted something for... We don't need to do this here in front of everyone. This is my son, Toluga, and my other son, Bleegong. Say hello to your uncles. Are your uncle?
Uncle Gulp. You're, kind of a jerk. Also, that's my son, Glebnor.
Who is...
He's adopted.
I'm ignoring that big slime for now.
I'm not gonna let that happen. Uncle Gulp's how big? Huge?
He's about your size, probably.
My size? Okay, yeah, cool. Guess who's about to get fucking blanketed?
Whoa, hold on now. What is
big
this?
Big hug!
Oh, no!
You hug ya! Hug him back! That's my son!
I don't know our relations, but I do not care for this!
You're my great uncle! And I'm gonna release him.
Well, I guess it looks like you did one thing right up there amongst the stars. That boy's a spitting image of Plu Plu Pling himself.
That's because I'm a Plu Plu Pling.
What did you say his name was again? You're Toluga?
Toluga!
Oh, that has a elegant ring to it. I'll introduce you to my son. Again, a nice, strong Kuatoa name. Get up here, Frick!
And you see this long, floppy catfish kind of walks up.
He's like, what's up, cuz?
Hey, cousin.
Frick Plu Plu Plane. Great to meet ya.
Great to meet you, too. I give him a hug. Like, I want to grip him up tight.
Oh, I was going to dap you up, but this is even better.
Are we dapping up?
Oh, it's dap.
There's just loud, wet sounds of fins doing some kind of crazy Kuatoa handshake. Bleegong's like, I don't know about Frick. He just looks just kind of menacingly at everyone.
And this is my wife, the beautiful Marmine.
He's like, oh, I do declare. That may be the most fine fish I've ever seen.
And he kind of leans in with his big, wide mouth and kisses her on her little dainty flipper she holds up.
Thank you. It's so nice to see where my husband came from. This is, quite a beautiful village you have here. This is our ancestral home, sister. Please, welcome all. It's unfortunate what happened to your home grove. I may be razzing my brother, but I do have some... I have a heart, of course, beating in this catfish chest. And I, of course, open my fin to all of you in your time of need. But, I must ask, what are these other village folk doing here? We Kuatoa mostly stick to our own kind. I see humans and elves and even some dwarves. What are these folk intending to stay as well?
Yes, these are people of my grove. They're under the protection of the Kuatoa of Tidigal.
Really happy to be here.
Little old Gamby Green kind of steps up onto the middle here.
So, what about you, human boy? You seem to have ingratiated yourself into my family. Who are you?
You can call me Bleebly.
Bleebly?
I immediately eject a license plate to him.
It flies at him, and he catches it with, like, way faster speed than you were expecting.
Oh, shit.
He's like, grabs it out of the air real quick.
Interesting. A god, you say?
I mean, that's what the pamphlet says.
Bleebly is a fine Kuatoa name. It is a fine name for a god, but... I don't know how I feel about this. We are traditional Kuatoa. We worship our ancestor, the Plu Plu Pleen himself.
He was made of Plu Plu Pleen.
Interesting. Explain this to me, Blob.
I'm Glebnor. I'm your grandnephew?
I don't understand our relations in current, but...
Me either, really?
It's fine. Glebnor, then.
You'll see Daddy.
Hi.
Who clearly resembles statue.
It is quite a resemblance to our forefather.
So, Uncle Pee Pee. You may not have heard of him.
Pripribilis?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Pripribilis actually came here once.
Hmm.
We did not take kindly to him. He was a hoity-toity city fish.
He's a bit of a tool. Anywho, he was sent off to find a new god, came back with a bunch of garbage, a couple of explosions, some water later. Now we have Bleebly.
So,
he was born of a Kuatoa god, but made specifically by a Plupluplin.
Yeah, I blessed him. And
totally
gave him his name.
Totally blessed.
Is this true, teeny genie?
It's just Gene. And yes, it is true. My son here, Taluga, is a prophet of a new god for the Kuatoa.
He's our plope.
He may look like a human man, but he is born of Kuatoan magic, and my people, he saved them. There wouldn't be no Kuatoa here without him.
All witness miracles. All of us.
And you can see
all 274.
All of the Kuatoa are like,
blee, 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 blee.
This is quite strange. I will have to consult the text. Where is my archpriestess?
And you can see kind of pushing through the crowd. There is a like lionfish with long dangly frills.
Yahoodle, is it true that they can make a human man a new god for us?
I will have to consult the texts.
You see? This lionfish holding a massive book that looks like it's a bunch of other books just stuck together.
Oh, there's a lot of different clauses.
Just flipping through all of the different pages.
Well, if you're to be a god, we must go through the rituals.
We already did a pilgrimage. He brought the wet.
There was a big wet dry problem.
Let me check Appendix B.
You see, Big Flipper flipping through this tome.
The pilgrimage is necessary.
You guys can give me a history check if you'd like.
11.
10.
10. Okay. You guys do remember that Pripribilis was kind of winging it out of a book of holy texts at one point. It seems like he may have maybe not made all of it up. Some parts of it seem right. There is precedent for a god going on a pilgrimage, bringing back something to their people, and some of that does track.
This is all highly unusual.
You see, the little fish is still flipping around, trying to find precedent to not allow this.
Daddy, I don't want to overstep. You ask what the other steps are. What? Ask what other rituals.
Well, what
we
else
need.
Would he have done?
Well, I couldn't let my people be open to a new god if we did not have the express permission of the old god. I know he may look like the ancestor Plupluplin, but that don't mean nothing just yet. We will consult our forefather. All of you will have to consult together. If you are to be a god, and you a plope, then, well, flip that page over there.
I will!
And you see, still flipping through, this lionfish is like, oh, here it is, and Yahoodles, Appendix B, I found my notes. Looking through it.
Well, unfortunately, you need a plope and a god and a champion, and I only see two, so unfortunately, this is kind of boilerplate. You can't be the new god.
I raise my pseudopod. Define champion.
Are you telling me you will be the champion of this new god?
He gripped up a whole giant man.
Interesting.
Right up.
Gripped him right up.
Let me check G for giant.
Flipping through the pages.
He was a Goliath, wasn't he?
He was.
Some might call him a Goliath of a man.
I got Guppy, and that's pretty much it in G. No Goliath, but this is highly unusual. Typically, it's, you know, everyone must be a Kuatoa for this ritual to succeed.
I am a Plupluplin.
True. Well, I have adopted him.
You would like to stand before the old gods and claim yourself a new one. Who am I to halt your efforts?
Cool.
Mean Gene is like stifles a laugh. He's like,
where do I go? Where do I consult this elder god then?
We will
Toluga, sorry. I'm just going to do a traditional conservative sidebar with my son, of course.
Sidebar, guys.
Toluga, are you sure about this?
What? Why not?
He's going to put you in front of the Elder God if things go wrong. Are you totally sure? I just need to know that you're willing to accept whatever happens if this goes poorly.
Dad, imagine if it goes right. And then you get to point and laugh at him. And I get to point and laugh at him.
Give me a persuasion check with advantage. There's a spark in Mean Gene's eye, the idea of screwing over his elder brother.
It's 11.
Okay, I'm just nervous. Listen, I don't really trust my brother, but I trust you.
Really?
Yeah, kid. Perpurbilis kind of...
Come on, say it. Say it.
He didn't have it, okay? He didn't have it in him to be a plope. He was just bullshitting me, but... Even though you may have started off bullshitting me, it seems like you've actually found something here with this kid.
Me? I would not. Okay, yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Of course,
yeah,
fine. Okay. My son, Toluga.
Hi.
Is willing to accept the challenges of the plope position. And me and my followers, we follow Bleebly, god of Tidagol and god of goons.
Guns. Looks like this. I rip out my holy symbol. Yeah.
What in tarnation is a gun?
Bleebly, if you could.
Do you got something you don't care about? Something you can set up real quick?
Frick, stand in front of the man.
You made me not alive.
Yeah.
What the hell, Dad? No.
You got like a can?
That you really hate.
Yeah.
Bring me the ceremonial can.
And you see a couple of these little catfish guys walk out with a small, like, wooden box covered in barnacles. They open it up and bring out a kind of rusted, like, soup can.
It is the holy can! Here, this will be the first test in your godhood. What will you do?
They plop it on a little stump.
Bleebly, enlighten them.
You can see the Kuotoa from Tidagol all instinctively go and block their ears.
They've been here before.
Can you do like a religion to see if he pumps any god power into this?
Yeah, you guys can give me a religion check. You want to put a little panache on this shot?
You want me to do a religion check?
I'll have them do the religion. You can just take the shot.
Okay, dirty 20.
11. Okay.
So I'm going to use a Deadeye shot to give myself advantage.
Okay.
And I'm going to...
That's what he's done.
Take out the judge's sentence and fire away. 21 to hit.
21 to hit the unmoving can?
Yep.
How much damage does he do to the can?
Yeah, so might as well.
Does he like completely eviscerate it?
Yeah.
9 damage.
Okay, I was going to say the can has 5 hit points. So you can see, how's it look when you shoot this can?
So it's the gun's like on my hip and basically it's like a quick pull up. Hit the hammer back, shoot, and then spin and put it back, like, in all-in-one motion.
Oh, ploop, ploop, bleen, bleen, I can't believe it!
You see, all of the catfish guys are all just panicked, kind of, like, all ducking and going crazy. You can see, actually, give me a perception check real quick. You can do it for the group, I guess. You can all make one.
19.
8.
11. As it's all kind of panicked, Theo, you can see this one sleepwalking catfish kind of just wandering through the crowd. He, like, almost got shot. He just walked right by it. But the can explodes, and there's this burst of arcane light. And you can see, as the light flashes, Toluga, you're standing in front of the statue, and it almost looks like a flash behind you as this light kind of puts you in silhouette in front of the statue.
Well, I am impressed. You maybe have brought a new god to the people of the Kuotoa. So, I will allow the three of you to undergo the ritual. But we are true followers of our ancestor Plupluplane. At the end of the day, I am not making a decision. Plupluplane is.
Okay, then he's a god.
Ain't that right, you hoodle?
That's correct, Plupluplane. Be praised.
All right, so... In front of this statue, I'm going to need everybody to make either a religion, persuasion, or performance check. The three of you.
It's a 15 religion.
Okay.
11 religion.
4. Okay. So you all stand before the statue, and the crowd goes quiet, and the catfish Kuotoa step back. And you see Yehudel is like,
"Everyone, the ceremonial kazooing!"
And there is a loud sound as the kazoos start to play. And in front of the statue, Theo, you're staring up looking at it, looking at what seems to be this weird, like, visage of Toluca. And what you notice that the statue begins to glow and hum. And the eyes of the statue, you're kind of right in front, so you see that they light up yellow. You two are going to each take 11 points of radiant damage as the Kuotoa songs get louder and louder, and this light from the statue starts glowing. And,
ow!
I need to lay down, Daddy.
There seems to be almost, Theo, like, some of the actual religious Kuotoan magic is maybe protecting you from this light, and it goes past you. You two get hit with these waves of light. Toluga, make an insight check for me.
12.
You can see, as you're, like, fumbling to get up and looking up at this light, you see Reggie is on the ground too, because, like, this kind of the statue rumbled and everyone kind of stepped back. It was kind of like a thaumaturgy spell almost went off, and there's kind of those tremors on the ground. And Reggie looks up at you, puts a hand on your shoulder, and goes,
"I believe in you, Toluca. You can do this."
Go ahead and roll again. You have advantage.
For
he's casting enhanced ability on you.
On insight?
On him?
On you.
For insight or
insight? No.
21.
21. You stand up. And stand up almost to this statue. And there's a moment of just this, like, tension in the air. It's almost like, you know, like, you, like, before storm, there's that like static kind of feel in the air where the air kind of gets heavy. You stand up, put your holy symbol up, and you can see there's a transfer of light as the glowing yellow eyes of the statue look right at you, Toluca. And you can see beams of this yellow light go into your eyes and into your holy symbol. And the crowd is, like, shocked at this point. You can see Uncle Gulp is just like, "Oh my goodness, a passing of the power, a new plope." And Glebnor, you're still, like, radiating with this holy energy.
Oh, I'm fucked up.
You're pretty hurt now.
Oh, wicked bad. You have no idea.
And you start kind of, like, getting broken down into just a bit of goo. But with Toluga's blessing behind you and this light pouring out of the statue, pouring out of Theo, and now in the eyes of Toluga, you kind of start forming your body back up. And for there's just a moment, but can you two make perception checks looking at Glebnor? Glebnor, you're good. You don't have to make one. This is just them to see what they see of you for a moment.
11.
12.
There's just so much smoke and flashing of arcane light, but for a moment, Glebnor kind of solidifies into a different form and then back into his gooey body. And then there's just one final flash of light. And everyone in the crowd, they're kind of like a wave of, like, religious force comes out of the statue.
Oh my goodness!
You see the little lionfish panicking. All of the catfish Kuotoa are like,
"Oh my god, it's a blee blee!"
They're just losing their minds at this. And as the dust settles, the three of you are standing there. There is still bits of this magic light coming off of you, Theo. Your eyes are still lit with this bright, blinding, almost flashlight effect, Toluca. and you have never felt more like a champion of Plee Plee than in this moment, Glebnor. Like, the three of you take a level up. And if you wouldn't mind telling us what level you're taking, and if you melt, if you're getting a subclass, what that subclass will be.
I mean, I think you know what I'm going to do here.
Tell the people at home.
I'm going to take another level of barbarian, which will send me down a path. The path of the zealot for my one true god, Blee Blee.
There we go.
I'm taking another level in fighter. At 4, I get a feat or ability score improvement, taking the piercer feat.
Nice.
I took another level of monk.
Unbelievable. And yeah, the crowd then roars. Kazoos, drums, banjos, everything is going crazy down here. We'll do this. Roll 2d100.
Okay.
Come on, plope.
Really good or really bad?
152.
In this moment, 152 of the Sloople Drip Kuwaita have just converted to Bleebly.
What's that, 426?
Yeah, 426.
And you see, there's almost like this real dull quiet as everyone's just in shock. Theo, you have inspiration for the next 24 hours.
Hell yeah.
So when I say that, it's, I'm going to give you permanent advantage on ability checks for the next 24 hours. We'll say it like that.
Okay.
As you just got juiced up with Kuwaitoan magic. And like there's a dull quiet as everyone is looking at you all. This bright, shining light. A champion, a ploop, and a new god. So, I will say, to break the silence, you hear Mean Gene go, "Fuck yeah! Fuck yes! Let's go! I told you, Gulp! I told you! This kid of mine's a ploop!" He grabs you, Tallulah. You see Bleagong's like, "Yeah, get it, bro!" He's like all excited and pumped up. Mameen has these big, giant crocodile tears in her eyes. And she's like, "Oh, it's beautiful!" And the Kuwaitoa are all in unison, in multiple accents at this point.
Blee, 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 blee.
They're all just chanting, and at this point, you see Gulf is like, "Well, frick, get the feaster ready tonight. We are eating good fish heads all around."
The hell, yeah.
And you see cacophony of music and song. And you see at this point a bunch of these small little fish folk walk out. They're all holding these like big saucer dishes above their head with these big grotesque fish heads kind of sliding around. Not a vegetable in sight. And you can see there's also... actually, give me perception checks. I want to see if you guys clock this, what's happening here. One sec, real quick.
14.
14.
I was still leveling up. Hold on.
Take it, Sam.
Perception?
Yeah.
That's a 9.
Okay. You two with a 14. You notice that there's some Lokatha, which are like these different species of fish folk. But these two both look like chefs. They have big floppy chef's hats on, and they both carry out a huge cauldron of soup. It's like a sloshing chowder that every time they walk, just bits of this weird hot liquid pour out the sides.
The ceremonial soup for my nephew and our new god, Bleebly. Everybody drink up. Get a big old bowl of that, Bleebly.
And you see he plops a big, disgusting bowl of fish slurry in front of you.
Everyone, let's see how he likes our customs.
And Frick is just with eyes wide.
I think Theo looks at Tallulah in like, and just goes for it.
Give me a constitution saving throw.
Am I next to him?
Yeah,
guide him. Can I pat him on the back?
Yeah.
I believe, Bleebly.
You got a d4 on that.
14.
Okay. With a 14, you don't throw up. You're able to stomach this. With a 14, you also are not poisoned. As you choke it down, and you can see next to you this whole time, who's just been trying to just stay out of everything. You can see your little kobold buddy is like, "I'm not drinking the fucking soup, Theo. You can drink it. You're the god. You drink up all that soup. I am not touching that soup.
Jarno, I know. Don't.
Okay. All right. Just putting it out there. I'm not drinking the soup." And we plan to bring this now to almost like a banquet, as you guys are up on this little kind of hacked together little stage here. They bring you into this big hall. And at the end, there's a bunch of these seats kind of made out of like moss and seaweed. And he's like,
"Come up here now, family. You're going to sit at the head of the table with me, your big old Uncle Gulp."
He brings you up. He seems like he's just been drinking this slurry soup out of like a big bowl the whole time.
"Oh, frick. Now, this is a cousin that could be a great influence on you."
"Yeah, no, that'd be cool."
You see Frick kind of goes over to you. He's like,
"Hey, I'm really impressed with you, Tallulah. But this town sucks. We should go have some fun tonight. Really hit the town."
"You hitting the town?"
"Yeah. Listen, don't say anything to my dad."
"Oh, I do that. I never say anything to him when I go out. Don't worry."
"Perfect, okay."
And you guys are kind of like in a corner, and you see at this point, Gulp is just making you eat other weird shit, Theo.
Like,
you ever had a crawdad, Mr. Blee Blee?
I don't believe I have.
You're going to want to bite that head clean off and suck at the juices.
You see, he bites the head off and it's like, hold your head back there, Blee Blee. We're going to give you a nice slurp.
Like a go-gurt.
He just smushes it into your mouth.
My dad's a kind of a weird guy. Listen, there's really
not going to lie, it looks kind of fun over there.
And there's not much here but chowder and weird stuff. But if you want to get kind of a fun time, we can really celebrate over in the Ebon Den. I know how to get in.
Okay.
All right, let's wait till everyone's asleep, and then let's go hit the town. I'll really show you what the Underdark's all about.
All right, it's got to be after my dwarvish lesson, though.
Sure, there's lots of dwarves there. Fire bellies.
Oh, cool, I got the practice.
Yeah, but I'm going to bring you to the hottest club in the Helion Quarter. We're going to have such a rockin' night.
Cool.
Wild. You know, I thought I was the city slicker. It seems like you got more of a nightlife down here than I did.
Well, gulp don't know won't hurt him.
He kind of takes off to his little hut.
He's like, I'll meet you guys tonight, don't worry.
After a long night of eating horrible food, Theo, you finally, they bring you to like the nicest hut they could get you. Three of you are all sharing a little room here, and you can see Reggie kind of runs and it's like,
that was a crazy party. I'm going to be honest, my robotic innards are currently full of weird fish stuff. I'm not super sure it's good for my circuits.
Yeah, let's go clear that up.
Yeah, you kind of pick him up and turn him over and just like, just goo kind of pours out of him.
That was the chowder. You made me drink so much of it.
I think Theo's gonna like go off to like the corner since it's a tent type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like gonna pull up like part of it and just make himself puke up all the stuff that he's, because that was gross and he's not feeling great.
Let it out, Theo.
I'm gonna reach into the bag of holding and pull out a couple tacos for Theo.
Yeah. Yeah, nice tacos.
That'll be a lot better.
Here you go. Something cooked good.
Thanks, Glubdar.
And after this very wild first day in the land of Slupledrip, you guys can take a nice long rest.
Oh, I need it.
I know. You got whaled by those rocks and the blinding light. Okay, so yeah, we can assume that as the festivities wind down, everyone kind of goes to their own quarters. Meemaw and Gene probably make sweet, sweet fish love and is, you know, just really just, you know,
in the tent.
So excited to be back home and to earn the respect of his brother. This could not have gone better for me and Gene. Like, he thought it was going to be a nightmare. You guys somehow fucking pulled it off.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you guys pulled the crib out of the...
We pulled the crib and the armor stand for Bleagong.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God, this thing was too big.
And you see Bleagong kind of wanders into the tent, pulling off the armor.
I'm going to be jacked, though, eventually, carrying this thing all
right. You're
going to
be huge, Bleagong.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Toluga, did you know that Gulp, he actually, he told me at dinner, he practices a different kind of monk ability.
It's what?
Yeah.
There's more than one?
No. He's not like that. He's not one of the astral self monks. He said that he follows an ancient... You know how he caught the pamphlet like so fast?
Yeah, that was impressive. I haven't seen Dad.
I really winged that thing at him.
Yeah. According to Uncle Gulp, he follows something called the Way of the Pleen. I guess it's an ancient monk tradition based on our ancestor, Plupu Pleen.
Well, apparently I look like him, so I might as well just, you know, try and learn that, I guess.
Yeah, maybe if we're lucky, Gulp will give us some training. We can learn the ancient art together, like brothers again.
Two brothers!
Learning martial arts from our catfish uncle.
He's just kind of excited.
You make that up just now, Bligon?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it was almost a bard. I don't want to toot my own horn or anything. But yeah, this is really exciting. I think things are gonna be great here. Dad's happy, Mom's happy, you guys have apparently started a whole new religion. Things are all looking up.
Yeah, but we do have to get your brother.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I just forget about Pripribilis. I'm sure he's fine. You know Pripribilis, he should have been dead so long ago. He always gets out of everything.
He has a way with words that is just incredible.
Yeah, I'm sure the Stormcallers love him.
If this were like an animated series, we'd flash cut to fucking Pripribilis in a prison cell somewhere in the north.
guys are going to take a long rest. I am unfortunately going to ask Theo to make a charisma saving throw as you kind of struggle to get to sleep tonight. You've been eating a lot of bullshit, and you're probably kind of got a lot of kicking around in that tummy of yours.
You said charisma?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a 5.
Okay. As you try to get to sleep, still feeling a little under the weather, as much as that, if you threw up, it's still probably kind of kicking around there. You can start to hear Glebnor doing a weird wet snore. Bleedog and Toluga have finally knocked out. You're laying there, you're just thinking about all of the crazy shit that has happened over the last 48 hours. It's just been complete insanity. But with a 5 charisma, the name Urshan is just rolling in your head over and over again. And unfortunately, with a 5, I'm going to need you to tell me how old you were when your parents died.
I was 5.
That could not be more perfect. As you struggle to get to bed, tossing and turning, your dreams bring you back to memories that you would try to repress. You are underneath the floorboards of your small home, and the sound of heavy boots make their way through the house. Your sister, still a child, has her hand over your mouth, and you can feel her wet, hot tears streaming down her face onto the back of your neck. You are trying your best not to scream, and you hear above you,
"Finish it, Urshan. Send the heretic to the grave. It would be my pleasure."
And that is where we're going to end tonight's episode of Dicey Situations. Keep it dicey, folks.
Howdy, Glebnor here, and I just want to say thanks for listening to Dicey Situations. If you liked what you heard, make sure you come back on Friday to listen to our talkback called Situational Awareness, where we break down the episode, and you get to know us, the players, a little bit better. And oh, as always, make sure you rate, review, subscribe, and word of mouth actually helps a lot. So if you could tell all your friends, that would be great. Thanks again. Keep it dicey!
This has been a Business Shark production.